This is This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's heart and soul.
Yes, it is. It's 8:32 on Namibia's heart and soul. We just checked out Senior Oud, by the way, with All In You. Senior Oud was in the country not so long ago. Shikwana, I think I remember telling you this. And he was he had a conversation with the twins, Paula and Shares. And Paula asked him, "Are you happy?" And
he downright said, "No,
bruh."
Yeah.
I wonder if that that answer has changed for him now, like right now in the present.
I think, you know what, I actually did pick up on his social media that he was going through quite some challenges at the time.
At the time,
okay. yes.
Okay.
He also had an incident where he fell off stage or something and really hurt himself. And he had to cancel a lot of bookings.
Yeah, because he's a bit of a big guy, man. Yeah. Imagine a big guy like that falling off stage.
Yeah, so he, I don't know what happened. So he was out not working for... Yeah. Maybe like over a month, and for a DJ, that's a lot of money lost.
I promise you that. But anyways, go check out that conversation on our website, freshfm.com.na. Now, speaking of FYI, the last 7 days were exceptionally dramatic. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact David Bishop and his news team, the newsroom was probably on fire. David Bishop, welcome. So how are you doing, sir?
I'm all right, thanks. And you?
Are we correct in our assessment?
Yeah.
When we say the newsroom was on fire, because this is happening, that is happening.
It was quite. We were definitely not lazy this last week.
Shade.
Yep.
David, what's happening?
No, it was very. It's one of those sort of situations where you know you're always wanting to make sure that you're as sort of accurate. As impartial as you can be. Any situations involving Israel and Palestine are immediately divisive.
Yes.
That's true.
There is no sort of middle ground there. Mm-hmm. And especially now with social media and with anybody being able to say whatever they want to, mm-hmm. and with the rise of disinformation, it becomes sort of even more hazardous, let's say. That in the newsroom, we've had to make sure that we are not only on top of all the information, not only making sure that we've got the right information, because a lot of newsrooms internationally are having to pull all sorts of retractions now.
That's true.
About, you know, stories that have gone out about what actually happened, what was said to have happened, but now has turned out wasn't actually the case. So it's, you know, the fog of war, let's call it, when things are happening on the ground and you don't always know. And that's why there's always that problem about, you know, wanting to be first and wanting to make sure that you've got that information out there before anyone else.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that that information wasn't, you know, really that great. So here what we've been doing is we've sort of just said we carry on focusing on what we, well, what I think at least we're good at.
Yeah.
And that's making sure, like, we're not worried about being first. Hmm. We're making sure we're accurate. When we put it out there, we've checked it, it's valid, it's accurate, and even it's written in such a way as to not sort of show any kind of unconscious bias even. Hmm. Because even, you know, organizations like the BBC have been called out because in a report, they talk about Israelis being killed and Palestinians dying.
And in the same report.
It's subtle.
Uh-huh.
It's very subtle. You might not pick up on it.
Killed.
But being killed is an act.
Exactly.
Dying is passive. It's active.
Passive.
It took me a second to get that.
So it's very, very subtle. It's an unconscious bias.
But
I'm not saying that the BBC
like that, it
reporter
be huge.
Specifically wanted to write it like that or had an agenda. Hmm. But just by having done that, you've created this sort of disparity of, you know, one group of people might be more important than another group of people, whether that was their intention or not. We'll give the BBC the benefit of the doubt and say it wasn't their intention because they are actually really good at being impartial most of the times. The Guardian was called out for the way they report, because a week before this incident they'd written an article where they said that Palestinians had received gunshot wounds to their legs. And people were dragging.
What do you mean received?
Yeah, people were dragging them on social media, saying like, in the post, saying, "Come on, Guardian, they were shot."
It's like, wait, this is for your legs, right there.
Right there.
So it said, And somebody actually wrote and said there's you know, English in when you taught English, you taught that there's the active voice and the passive voice, but you never taught about the journalistic voice that sometimes comes up with the super passive, you know, people receive gunshot wounds. No, they don't. They get shot.
They get shot.
Yeah. I mean, now that you're on the subject, the Namibian government also pronounced themselves, and this was actually a first, if I'm not mistaken, for a Namibian government to pronounce themselves on an active situation internationally. Because usually the Namibian government, their stance is, we are friend to all, enemy to none.
As most Africans.
Yeah.
As most African countries.
Yeah,
we're very wary of taking a stand. We're very wary of sort of saying anything outright and overt. I know the South African government, when it comes to the Israel-Palestine situation, ongoing conflict, the South African government has been quite sort of vocally pro-Palestinian state. And the problem with this whole, and I actually said to you yesterday, if we're going to talk about Israel, I'm taking the day off. And we're talking about Israel. Because talking about Israel is one of those sort of dangerous subjects, because people will say something critical of the Israeli government and be told that they are being critical of Jewish people or Judaism, and they're being anti-Semitic, and there's a difference. There's a big difference
that's
between
religion,
critical of a government, and that's one of the politics. Things that people are trying to point out here as well. Like, the Israeli government isn't all Jewish people. Hamas isn't all Palestinian people. There was a shop, an elderly Palestinian who'd probably been living in London for the last 40 years or something, and his shop was attacked and they broke all his windows. And somebody was saying, like, what does that old Palestinian guy have to do with Hamas? Like, don't go and take it out on him. He's just trying to make a living. He's just trying to support his family. So we need to always sort of have that distinction. Same as go all the way back to 9/11, when Al-Qaeda flew the planes into the towers, and suddenly anyone who was Muslim or even looked Muslim, because Sikhs were being beaten up, you know, anybody who was brown, let's say, was suddenly an enemy because of Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda was one group.
Not everyone.
So we need to always keep that in mind as well.
Now locally, I mean, there's been drama here as well. There's a couple of cases that we can put on the table. This morning, Shaquan read a report in which police that were privy to the actual incident on the 21st of March was saying that there was actually
that he, Michael Amuchelelo and Nuyoma, they did not instigate any violence at all. So, which actually begs the question, like, why were they being chased around the city? Because I remember there was an incident where some people were attacked run about Marula. If you think about Independence Arena behind Shoprite in Marula. So these kids would never. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally walking from or running from there to there. So what exactly happened?
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation. The fact that he is still in prison now, the bail applications, all of that. At the beginning, there was a bit of confusion even in the way he was dealing with the case, where he was withdrawing his bail applications and seeming to want to stay in prison. But it's an interesting opinion that I saw from someone who I would say is intelligent enough to have very well thought out opinions. And that person was saying, not that we, you don't want to say government is making sure that Amuchelelo stays in prison or the courts are making sure, but the entire situation around Amuchelelo has, in a way, legitimized, politicized. You know, you've taken a person who was, a forex trader, a sometime human rights campaigner, and he's now, by being kept in prison, almost been elevated and put on this into a new position where he is now seen as, almost some kind of political prisoner.
Do you think he just this time around that he dug a hole for himself that he can't seem that he can't get out of?
That's why I say I don't to try and understand the whole situation and what's going on exactly and why the bail and was he right or wrong to have protested on everyone's got the right to have a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. There's no law that says you can't do it on our Independence Day. You know, it's maybe a bit of a slap in the face to do it on an national celebratory day.
But there's no actual law.
But there's no actual law that says you can't do that.
Mm.
So it's such a sort of tricky
because
case.
It's one case, right? This is only one case. Mm.
And he's got a couple of them.
I mean, he has the other cases that have nothing to do with protesting or politics or anything. And that's why
people
are saying
it's going to take a while to resolve this from the looks of things.
Just as last question in terms of this, in terms of law, just make me understand here, David, because you read a lot.
And you're so smart.
Very smart. He's like the biggest brain in the building. In terms of law, right?
Don't get Gary here.
If you in terms of law, right? If you have a couple of cases stacked up against you, and you're dealing with one case now, right? Does that have a way? Does that weigh on your current case, the one that's active right now? In terms of the previous cases that are still active,
I said on Limey's show on Radio Wave yesterday that one of the sort of skills in life is being able to admit when you don't know enough and say when I don't actually know enough to have an opinion on that. Social media, as far as I would guess, and thinking about the way the law works, like I say, I don't really know, and I'm not a qualified lawyer. Somebody could tell us, but. As far as I know, each case is a separate case. You can't, so it has to be weighed on its merits.
That case,
it doesn't matter what else is happening outside of that case and outside of the courtroom at that moment, except for things like bail where, resources and all of that play into bail decisions. But I don't think necessarily, although it could, I suppose, if you have a very hectic case against you and they're weighing up whether you'll be a flight risk in this case, they might then consider the fact that if you have, let's say, a murder trial as a separate trial, that you would have more incentive to maybe skip the country. So maybe it does weigh in. But yeah, like I say, I don't really know enough 100%. About the law.
Okay.
Mm, okay.
Now, the incident What did official opposition party call it? He called it systematic tribalism.
So, David, you know what? And this, it's actually a good thing that we point this question to you, because once again, we need to reiterate this. Hey, David is the smartest. He's got all the answers.
No, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers.
So, David, maybe just contextualize for us in this room. Why are we lazy? This is very serious. What's going on?
I like to think that I'm not particularly lazy and that I actually have a pretty good work ethic. But yeah, I mean, Utoni Nyoma standing up in parliament and saying that sort of only Oshabambo people work hard and none of the other people. It was a very silly thing to do. I mean, we know that we've got issues with so-called tribalism in Namibia already. So why would you inflame something like that? Toivo, the editor of the Namibian Sun, has got a very interesting editorial there saying now, in previous instances where officials have said things that could be construed as sort of tribalistic, the president has called them out and has forced them to make an apology. Unless he wants to be accused of not treating everyone the same, he is going to have to deal with this now.
It goes a little deeper than just parliament. I say this because these are potential grounds for incitement, for public disorder. It's very dangerous ground.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely
it's
we've got
very
these
dangerous grounds.
Stereotypes. We've got these things people say about each other that are really nasty, and elected officials should not be the people saying those.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're held to a different standard. The same as the three of us are held to a different standard because of the positions and because of the power that we have speaking into these microphones. If any of us were to say something like this, we would rightly be dragged across the coals by the company. We 100%. Would be forced to make some kind of apology. We would very likely be suspended for a while or, worse, who knows.
It is worth noting, though, that he did apologize. He did retract the statement in parliament.
Did he retract it after everyone just got worked up?
Yes, yes. I watched the actual session.
Oh,
I watched it. Peter Kashivivi, the speaker, he lost total control.
I mean, that's nothing new.
Yeah, exactly. Even members of his party, SWAPO, were
called
outraged.
Him out. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's how Democratic got.
Which is right.
I applaud that.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, yeah. The fact that his own party called him out on it is good.
Yeah.
And it's a good sign.
All right. David Bishop, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You know, the three of us, we will talk and debate the whole day.
The whole day. We love having you in studio. But let's go out there, have a fantastic day, and be productive and, you know, not lazy. I'll stop tomorrow. I'm sorry.
No, not today.
Not tomorrow.
That was This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's heart and soul. Join us at the EFN.